My name is Lois Erickson, and this session is called Adventures in Solitude. So I'll share my ideas, and I hope that some of you will share your ideas too. I have written a little book, very little as you can see, and I'm going to review it, and I'm also going to review some of these other books, or at least mention them, because these are some of my favorites. Are any of you published writers? Any? Raise your hand, confess. Or would you like to be a published writer? How about that? Yes, that's the way I was just a very short time ago, just a very short few years ago, I decided to take up writing. And this is my first, and well, I have another book, but it was on assignment. So this is actually my first book. And a lot of people say, well, why did you write it, and how did it come about? And so I'll just tell you very briefly how it came about. I was ill at the time. I had a very severe pain in my right leg, and the doctors didn't know what it was. They thought it was phlebitis, and they treated me for phlebitis. And for 3 years, I was in severe pain, and come to find out, it was a knotted muscle. And so it was like a Charlie horse all the time for 3 years, if you can imagine that. And so I did a lot of soul searching and thinking, and I gave up my job and so on. And finally, I discovered I had flat feet, and I got arch supports, and the pain went away. So, but in the meantime, I thought, since I'm having this terrible experience, I might as well use it for something. And so I wrote a book about it. And that's my little book, Adventures in Solitude. Now, why did I write about solitude? Oh, I want to tell you one more thing first, for those who are interested in becoming writers. It took me, this is 30 pages long, it took me a year to write it. That's 10 pages a year. But, you know, you write and rewrite. Then it took a year to market it, to find a publisher who wanted to publish it, and after I signed the contract, it took another year before it was in print. So it took 3 years for this little book, but it's been lots of fun. One publisher said it's too short, so I made it twice as long, and the publisher that did it, Review and Herald Publishing Company, said it's too long, so they cut it in two. But I sold most of the leftover chapters as short articles, and those of you who take Scope may have read some of them in Scope. One was called Jim, about my foster son, and one was called I'm Glad I Listened, about a strange phone call I had. But that's the story of that. Now, but why did I write about solitude? And and what has influenced me into in the enjoyment of solitude? And it goes way back to 20 years ago when I first read Gift from the Sea. Probably a lot of you have read Anne Moore Lindbergh's. It's a classic, Gift from the Sea. And it's been put out this year in this paperback, so it's been republished. And it's a 20th anniversary edition, so it's now available in paperback. And all these books are available over here in the bookstore. But Anne Moore Lindbergh, for those of you who haven't read it, went off to a beach cottage by herself to get her thoughts into order, and then she wrote this book about it. And 20 years ago, I thought, now why can't I do that? But you know, you have your children at home, and you just don't take off by yourself to the beach cottage usually. So I didn't do it then. It took a pain in my leg before I was brave enough to go off by myself. Another book that influenced me is called Pustinia. And this is about solitude. It's written by a Russian woman. And she talks about going off and by yourself for a while to just to pray and think and get your thoughts in order and take some time for yourself. I'd like to read you just a little bit. She says, and in Russian, the word for this place that you go is called the Pustinya. And they have little cottages in the woods and so on, but it, you also can have Pustinya wherever you are. And she says, the Pustinya is one place where you can relax a little, as if you were a piece of pancake dough. Isn't that great? She's talking about God. He knows all about you. Have a little chat with him, snooze a little, do a little reading, go out and look at the grass and say, gee, how beautiful you made the grass, or how beautiful you made the snow, whichever it is, or how lovely the rain is. That's the sort of thing you do. There's nothing frightening about it. So that influenced me also. And so I went off by myself with my sore leg, hurting very much. I went off to, I live in Oregon, in the Willamette Valley in the western part, and I went off to the central Oregon part because it was April and it was too cold to go camping by myself. I wanted to camp. I like to camp, and I camped many years with my family, but I wanted to camp. So I went off in April to the desert and stayed by myself. And there I just took time to think of why I was, just the why of my life. And I also thought of, I did a lot of praying and I did a lot of resting, which was good for my leg. And then I thought of this. This is the first part of my little book, and it says, King's X, the little girl shouted. The other children continued their game of tag, but they didn't bother the little girl who had stopped to tie her shoe. She had shouted, King's X, and that meant time out. I'm no longer a little girl, but I still need to say, King's X, my shoelaces are flapping. I'm out of breath. Let the game of life go on without me. I need time out for just a while, and then I'll join the group again. Jesus, our servant king, took time out and even suggested that his followers do the same. Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. So please, let me have my King's X. I'll be back soon. So, where can you go? Where can you go to have your solitude? Do you have to go and rent a beach cottage? Do you have to go into a cabin in the woods? Not always. There are other places. And I'll tell you about some of those places soon, but I wanted to tell you one of my thoughts while I was there, on that first time that I went off on I call these personal retreats, and the first time I went off on a personal retreat, in the silence of that April morning, this is in the desert, in the silence of that April morning, I recalled that times of solitude are necessary, times to listen to God, so that with his help and his renewal, I can face the problems pressing down on me. And I'm walking on the desert, and I glanced down and saw that I was standing on a carpet of low-growing, spreading phlox. And then on the desert, they're just a little plant that grows about this high, and it spreads, and it has this pretty little blossom on it. And it's growing in among the lupin and there. Thousands of tiny five-petaled flowers were nestled among the rough sagebrush and harsh volcanic stones. Their lavender petals were turned toward the morning sun. They were so numerous that if I wanted to move, I had to walk on them. I took a step. My shoes bent the flowers to the ground. Yet as I looked back, I saw that I had not really hurt them. They started to straighten up again as soon as my foot lifted. That's the way I want my life to be. When heavy cares seem to push me down, I want the strength to straighten up. And then I realize that I need God's help to do that. After the time in the desert, that was one time, and then but my doctors were still saying exercise as much as possible. And since my husband and I like to backpack, we went backpacking and we walked and we hiked, which was just the wrong thing to do. What the leg needed was rest. And so then I went again, and this time it was summer, and I went into a forest camp, and I stayed 19 days, and that was very, very fine. A real fine experience, although at that time it didn't, it rested the leg, but it didn't in any way cause the problem to go away. But as time has gone on, I wondered about, you can't always go off to the woods, and in the winter, what do you do? So I devised other ways of having solitude, and I'm wondering if I should tell them, or should I ask you what ways you might think to find some solitude, maybe right at home. I think I'll throw it over to you for a while and see if you can come up with some ideas of taking time out to just to maybe do nothing, or maybe to read your Bible, or you know, some little easy book, something you want to do, not something you have to do, not studying your Sunday school lesson, nothing that you have to do, but something that you might want to do. Does anyone have any ideas? Great. Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. Take the phone off the hook. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We can't do that. We're on a five-party line.
Oh.
Put a pillow over it.
And put a pillow over it, she says. How about not answering it if it rings?
Well, then you always wonder who it is.
I know. Isn't that awful? It's better if you can take the phone off the hook. Pardon?
Just unplug it.
Unplug it. Does yours unplug? Yeah, yours doesn't unplug, I imagine, if you're on a five-party line. No. Yes, that's one problem.
What about people that live alone and have too much solitude?
Pardon?
What about people that live alone and have too much solitude?
Yes, now that's another problem, isn't it? You don't need that much solitude. You don't want to take your phone off the hook. Isn't that right?
Well, I was thinking about this fellow that's living alone up here, and as we were coming up where the boat stopped in there, and he was alone with three dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's, to me, that's solitude.
That really is, isn't it? Uh-huh.
I think he was alone.
Maybe he was writing a book too.
Maybe so.
He has an ad over on the bulletin board. He's at Donkey Lake, and it's very primitive, the cabin. I've been up there. I don't know whether anyone else has or not. Read his invitation to come to solitude.
Oh, the one that lives at Donkey.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's interesting. Well, I found that I was leading a very busy life and needed to take some time, not just in the summer, but occasionally at home. So I would take the phone off the hook, and I would have a four-hour personal retreat at home. And usually I'd plan on 10 o'clock. And then I'd really race around and get my dishes done and all these things that you think you have to do. And about at 10 o'clock, the phone would go off the hook. And then I would take 4 hours just to, well, usually I would lie down and rest first and then read and pray and do some Christian meditation, meditate on a Bible verse, maybe read my Bible for a little while and come to a Bible verse, especially in the Psalms, there are a lot of good ones, you know, like taste and see that the Lord is good, and all those wonderful ones from the Psalms. And just take one of those Bible verses and think of it for 10, 15 minutes and see what it means to you. I always eat when I'm not a faster. I always think I have to eat. So I get up and fix a little lunch and maybe go for a walk around my garden, or I even sometimes go over and go swimming, but I don't talk to anybody. I swim at the high school, adult swim classes, and they're not classes, they're just swim times. Take my lunch into my bedroom where I'm having my retreat and eat it prayerfully, and then pretty soon it's 2 o'clock and the time has just flown past. But I'm really refreshed, both physically and mentally and spiritually. And now, like you say, one problem is if you live alone, you have too much time alone, which may not necessarily be solitude, because you may be doing things or could be concerned about something. Whereas when you take your personal retreat, actually take a few hours out in a day, it's a purposeful thing. It's going to God and being with God and having this restful spiritual experience, which you don't necessarily do when you're just doing the dishes. You can meditate on taste and see how the Lord is good while you're preparing dinner, but it's not the same as when you're sitting down and thinking about it. I mean, that's good also to pray while you're ironing, but it's a little different if you actually sit down and take time. It reminds me of when my sons were in high school. Well, first of all, when my daughters, the two daughters were older, and they were in high school, and they'd come home from school, and we'd do things together like make cookies, and we always talked while we were doing things. Well, then the boys were in high school, and they'd come home from high school, and they didn't want me to do anything while I was talking to them. They wanted me to sit down and talk to them. And I thought, oh, I'm too busy to sit down and talk to them. But then I thought, oh my goodness, they're only going to be in high school a short time. They're going to go away from home. So I, in short order, I learned to sit down and talk to the boys when they came home from high school in the afternoon. And I'm glad I did that, because it was really a short time. And that's just sort of like sitting down and talking to God, not always just on the run. Yeah, these are my opinions. Take them or leave them. So then I also discovered another way to have a bit of solitude now and then, and that is just taking, if you discover you have half an hour or 15 minutes to wait for a bus, and instead of getting irritated that the bus isn't coming, you might as well sit there and enjoy your solitude.
And I'd like to know what your husband thought about this when he went off on the bus.
Oh, good question. Yes. My husband, when I said I wanted to do this, he encouraged me because he knew that I was in a lot of pain and very discouraged, really mentally low. And he encouraged me. And one year, we were supposed to come up here and be on the faculty at Holden, and I said, I just can't do it. I just can't, because I'd be standing around talking to people. I needed to sit all the time with my leg up. So he came up here and I went camping. And so I missed Holden that year, but he was very, very helpful. And he was working, of course, but he came one weekend to visit me, and my daughter and her husband came the same weekend to visit. So they were very nice. When I went to the forest camp, I was in too much pain to drive the car. So my son Rolf drove the, we have a VW camper, and he drove the camper up there. My husband and he loaded it for me, and my son drove me up to the forest camp, and then he hitchhiked home and left me there, figuring I was going to be strong enough to drive home when the time came. The 19 days was in two different times. I went nine days one time and 10 days another time, but there was just a little bit of time in between.
Who discovered you needed arches?
I decided that myself. And, there's more to the story, too. I became very discouraged, and I went to visit a friend of mine who's a Mexican woman. And she says, I know what's wrong with you. I wasn't going to tell this, but I guess I will since you're all so nice. I don't just tell this to everybody because not everybody would understand. She says, I know what's wrong with you. Your muscles are cold. And so if you come and stay overnight at my house, we'll warm up your muscles. So I said, okay. And so I took a foam rubber mattress I had, because there were 14 people living in that house, and Grandma was sleeping on the Davenport. And I knew they were going to get, she and her husband would give up their double bed just for me, and I didn't want them to do that. So I brought my own mattress, and I put it in the middle of their living room floor, and she put some Mexican liniment on it, which is a combination of nard, which is an interesting biblical, you know, that's what they used to on Jesus after he had died, nard and aloes. But anyway, it was nard and almond oil and some other things mixed together. She had this in a tequila bottle, and she rubbed this on my leg, and then she put hot, dry towels on it for about half an hour. And all the time she was praying. And then she wrapped me up in these hot towels, and I slept all night, and Grandma was over on the Davenport saying in Spanish, que duermes con los angelitos, which means, may you sleep with the angels, which is a very lovely way of saying sleep well. And I just slept beautifully. And in the morning, my pain was gone, and it's never returned. But she said, go home and don't go outside for 3 days. Stay right at home. So I wrote, her husband warmed up my car with the heater, and they wrapped blankets around my legs, and I went home and stayed in the house for 3 days. And during that time, I thought, I think I'll go to a podiatrist and see if I need arch supports. So I called him up and made an appointment, and that was that. So I'll share that with you. Anyway, I'm very grateful that the pain has gone away, and I think that I think I was very blessed to have it gone after 3 years of pain. And out of all this, I have a little book. So I find that I can take 15 minutes or half an hour if I'm somewhere. I have one chapter in here on in between planes in the Miami airport, and just sitting there enjoying the quietness and the solitude. I like people and I love to be with people, but I also need to be alone sometimes. And people say, when do you think that you, well, how do you know when you need a retreat? And you just have a feeling, you're physically tired for one thing, and then another thing is you're spiritually tired, or I am, and I just need a time to be alone for a while. It's easy for me now because I'm my children are all away from home, and then the last chapter in the book, I tell about sharing this experience, opening my home to other persons who would like to take a retreat, and I can take four at a time. I have two bedrooms and a living room and my husband's study if he's not home, and I can put one person in each room, and then while they're having their quiet time and they can do whatever they want, I said, you can sleep, you can do whatever you want, I'm fixing lunch, and so if someone who has children at home or a young mother, when you're in your own home, oftentimes you think, oh, I got to get up and do these things. But if you go to someone else's home, it's easier sometimes. So we have something called Witness Committee at our church, and our Witness Committee is now sponsoring this type of retreat, and some of the other women in our church are going to open their homes too, and not just for women, men and women. So
I suspect that if you have a lot of pressures on you, it takes more decision to do that, than it does if your day can be ordered more or less the way you want.
That's right. And it's really hard to think, now, today I'm really going to do this. And then to really set a time and really do it. But even if you just take 2 hours, it's better than none at all. And there are times when I just take 2 hours. But 4 hours is really better for me.
How often? Once a week?
No. Once a month is pretty nice. But then sometimes I go 2-3 months and think I'm too busy.
I was going to say, I think some of us need to learn to say no, or not to take on too many things. Mm-hmm. Because if you're the kind of a person that worries about it or frets, and you've bitten off more than you can chew, that's when I get uptight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even though you're retired, and your whole day is your own, and that, I have found several times that I have overcommitted myself.
No, very easy to do. Thanks for sharing that, because that is a universal problem, I think. And we just.
And like you said, you need to get away from home. When you're there, there's always something that needs doing.
That's right.
A week up here. I was really looking forward to that.
Yes. Because you can't see all those projects that you have underway at home.
The pears that are sitting there rotting.
Yes. Yes.
But you can throw them out when you
can. Yeah, that's what I figured. They didn't cost anything, that's right. And I wasn't going to stay home and can them. If they're okay when I get home, fine.
Could you tell a little more about having these 3 or 4 people come into your home?
Oh, yes. I have 4 at a time, because they can each have a room, and so they can be completely alone. And I tell them to come at about 9:30, so that from 9:30 to 10, I serve herb tea. And a little toast or something, cinnamon toast or something like that, so that we can talk a little bit about what a retreat is, and then I talk a little about that they're going to have this time all to themselves, and nobody's going to bother them. The phone's going to be off the hook. Nobody can reach them, If they get restless and want to get up and walk around in the yard, look at the flowers, or if it's winter, just walk around, that's fine, anything. But if they meet each other out in the yard, just pretend they don't see each other, because each one is to be with them by themselves. And then at 10 o'clock, they each go to their room, and they... Some like the rooms with the beds in them, and as I said here, one of them wanted the room with the electric blanket on the bed, and so they think you know, you think 2 hours is going to be a long, long time. Well, you get restless. But what 12 o'clock, I knock on their doors and tell them lunch is ready. And they just have said, oh, you know, the time went so quickly. Now, they, I have books that I suggest that they could read. You know, I have Out of Solitude, which is another classic. And it's easy reading. You don't want to strain yourself when you're on a retreat. Nothing that's really too hard to digest in your mind. But something easy, because everything should be relaxing. And or they don't have to read. They can pray. They can think of a Bible verse. But otherwise, they can just think of anything they want to, or they can sleep. A lot of people go sound asleep. I think last time, every one of them said they went to sleep. And they... at 12 o'clock, we have lunch, and then that's as long as I have it for so far. I've only done it twice with other people like that. They say it seems very short, that, you know, it could go on into the afternoon. Could go on till 2 o'clock with them also. And I'm going to try some in the evening with men and women, so that or working women. And working men, but retired men or women could come also. It just happens that I've had women so far, but I have a friend who keeps saying, why don't you have one for men? And men need it as much as women.
Would you do this on more than once for a person or on a regular basis?
Well, so far it has been different persons, but at our next LCW meeting, I'm going to make an announcement that because I want to find out who would be interested. So far, I've just phoned people and asked if they'd like to come. But our witness committee is all for this, and they have suggested that I make an announcement and have a sign-up sheet, and then we'll work it into the time of day when they can come. It doesn't have to be 10 in the morning. Could just as well be 1 in the afternoon and no lunch, you know, just maybe a light refreshment or something. Don't give them any coffee or tea, though, because I don't want them to get stimulated. I want them to be relaxed. And I'm all interested in herb teas anyway, and incidentally, I've written another book, which I haven't found a publisher for yet, and it's called Consider the Herbs. It's a book about herbs and how to make herb tea, and it's also a devotional book. It's a combination. So I hope by next year I'll have that along, but I have to find a publisher first. So I make the herb tea, and most of them do enjoy the herb tea. They all say they do anyway.
Is there a charge?
No charge. No, it's just a easy thing to do, and I just make a light lunch, like a salad and sandwiches, something like that. That's really easy for just four persons.
Do you eat together?
Yes, and we eat together, and sometimes they share a little bit of, and last time they didn't really want to share what they thought about, so that was fine. We chat a little bit quietly, and then they go home. And most people the first time think that's long enough, but maybe the next time they'd like it a little longer. So we'll have to see. I'll have to experiment some more to find out. Just it's really sort of new. Mm-hmm. I've only done it twice. And
is this your own idea?
Yes. I just thought that I wanted to share these ideas because I found it so helpful for me.
Are these retired people?
Not necessarily. Some were young mothers.
Because that would be might be good with young people, uh-huh. The youth.
Yes, and one was a single woman. She'd never been married, and some young mothers, and then some retired women. So, I think next time I will invite some retired men that I know, and they could come with their wives. And then they'd each have their own room, though, for their individual retreat. So you need to be alone.
Did they feel like that they were inspired, or I don't exactly know what word I want to use?
Well, they said so. They said that they thought it was really, really, let's see what, I have some quotes in here from that first one that we did. It's the last chapter. And they said, these are their remarks. A few days later, I phoned each of the participants. I wanted to learn about their reactions to the retreat. And one said it was restful. Another said, I'd like to do it again, maybe for longer than 2 hours. Another one said, I appreciated the chance to sit back and think about feelings. And one said she had become more aware of things, like when she's out of doors, she listened more to the birds and the wind in the trees. We can learn to appreciate time for self and for God. And then after we have gained new calmness, we can reach out. We can touch the lives of others by listening to them. Then the Holy Spirit is at work, and we do not know what influence our quiet listening might have.
That was 2 years ago, and you haven't done it since?
No, I did it just, I did one in June. I haven't done one since June. Summer got kind of busy. And yes, there was a long time in between when I didn't do any. But we do plan to do some this fall. And I did this one before I wrote the book, so that, because I wanted to share it in the book, I wanted to share reactions of other persons for the little book. And they knew that when they came, so they were helping me.
Some of the techniques of meditation be good, though, to introduce into this a matter of freeing the mind of the mundane things that you know,
mm-hmm.
and letting the Holy Spirit really come into.
Yes, we talk a little bit about meditation while we're having our herb tea and our toast to begin with. And I recommend some books to them first I recommend that they choose a Bible verse or a word to meditate on and fill their mind with one. And one of my favorites is just, "Thanks, Lord." I meditate on that frequently. I take a solitude time every day for about half an hour. My favorite time is about 3:30 in the afternoon. And I sit, I have a nice easy chair in the living room with, you know, one of those lazy boys where the feet go up and you can lie back. And I meditate nearly every day on "Thanks, Lord." That's just my very favorite one. So I share that with other people too. And then after I've meditated on that for a while, we have also a prayer fellowship at our church, and we pray for a lot of people, and I do my prayer list at that time after I've meditated. But if you're meditating on a phrase like "Thanks, Lord," then you've freed your mind from all kinds of worries, and like you said, you've freed your mind from other things to let the Holy Spirit come in and help you. So that's the reason to take something to put into your mind. Meditating is not making your mind a blank by any means. It's filling your mind. And if you hear that criticism of meditation, it's making your mind a blank. Well, it absolutely is not. It's filling your mind with, and in Christian meditation, it's filling your mind with the joy of the gospel. So there are two books over here in the bookstore on meditation. by someone named Avery Brooks on Christian meditation. Her system is a little more involved than mine. I think your simplest book is this one. It's really simple. But these are how to meditate without leaving the world, and she takes you through various steps, and it's really good. And then you can learn a lot from her method, but if it's really involved to remember all of it, so just take the parts that you want and use them. And but I do recommend her books. They're really good. And this one is the method one, if I remember correctly. And then this one is talks about meditation in general. But they're good. And just don't make a big, heavy, hard thing of it. She makes it a little bit too involved, but not too much. Mary Schramm, in her book, her new book, which just came out this year from Augsburg, Gifts of Grace, has a nice chapter on meditation, not on meditation, excuse me, on solitude. And it's very encouraging on taking time each day, and I do recommend that also, to take time each day for a quiet time. And my husband takes a quiet time of prayer as soon as he gets up in the morning. That's his time. And he's in the living room while I'm fixing breakfast. I like mine at 3:30 or 4. Today, did it at 3, since I was coming over here at 4. But nice to take, and she calls it, Mary calls it a daily Sabbath, which is kind of a nice way of remembering. And she says, don't just do something, stand there. A little different from don't just stand there, do something, but don't have to be doing something all the time. Those of us, probably most of us, were raised with this work ethic of you've got to be doing something worthwhile all the time. And I fight that in myself, but I'm not very successful. And I suppose one reason I enjoy taking time out is because I think it's worthwhile. So there I am, still doing something worthwhile, but at least I'm taking time out. What else was I going to read here? Here, she says it too. Excuse me.
We have this exchange students between countries. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have exchange students in a town between homes? They'd gain so much seeing how another family lives.
Yes, it would. You'd learn a lot, wouldn't you, from someone else's home?
Be amazing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because sometimes kids think, you know, that their parents are awful because they can't do this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would really be wonderful for them.
And we could learn something just to exchanging ideas, no matter what our ages are. So anyway, Mary says in her book, many of us grew up with the idea that our worth as individuals is equated with our successes or how busy we appear to be. Our self-esteem is so closely linked to the success or failure of everything we do that we begin to judge ourselves by what others think of us. So, we just don't have to be busy all the time. And I know that that's one of my problems, that I think I have to be busy all the time doing something worthwhile, but maybe taking time out is worthwhile also. And now, let's see, I guess I've told you about all those books. I didn't really tell you too much about Out of Solitude. This one is a classic, and it's, as I said before, it's really easy to read, and Henri Nouwen is a good writer. It's, you see, large print and not very long. But he starts out with, in the morning, long before dawn, he got up and left the house and went off to a lonely place and prayed there. He's talking about Jesus, of course. You recognize that verse. He talks about you learning about yourself, and then how this, when you have taken time to learn about yourself and to take your solitude, then you learn about reaching out to other persons. And nearly every book that you read on solitude has this same theme of reaching out to other persons and learning about caring and loving other people. So it's just a theme that goes through nearly every book that you can read on solitude. And it just seems part of the importance. Yes.
One of the things that, experience that I had that really shaped a lot of my thinking on solitude happened about 5 years ago. I was working with some children, about 10 to 12, and it was a camp setting, and one of the activities was just a quiet time, and each individual was supposed to find a spot, spend half an hour there, which we thought was a short time. Mm-hmm. And in 10 minutes, the kids were back. Mm-hmm. They were so nervous, they were so bored, they couldn't spend time with themselves. They got all jittery, they just didn't know what to do. Plus we set the Bibles with them. And how we're so, especially maybe younger people, so programmed to be entertained, and that to spend time by ourselves is such a challenge, it's boring. And that somewhere, I think we're missing something. It sounds very ironic that we have to teach ourselves to have solitude, or to have to think, is it important for me to spend time by myself? And yet when we look at so many of the great Christians, of all times, that was such a part of their life, taking time away. Recently I've worked with quite a few people in the 20-year-old bracket who are asking very hard questions, and they wouldn't stay around for the answers. And they wouldn't take time by themselves, but they would ask questions. And maybe somehow we have to, if as early as possible, we can learn to feel good about having time by ourselves throughout our life when we are alone with some very difficult questions. We have the strength or the resources to work through them. And it seems like when I take periods of solitude, I always vow that when I come back, I will continue to do that. And then I get so wrapped up in being busy again. Mm-hmm. But often reminded that the busier my day looks, the more important it is to begin in of a couple weeks. That's going to be, if to make it through in the best, most productive way, most effective way, I should have those periods of solitude in there. And that our faith is moderation. And if we're always with people, then we're losing touch with so much of what's inside of ourselves. But if we're always by ourselves in solitude, then we're missing that interaction with people. And that somehow we have to share that with all age groups. How to maybe be comfortable with ourselves, mm-hmm. which is, it's a sad statement that we have to learn to do that. But I think that's maybe where we're at.
I work at a camp with 5th and 6th graders, and I'll take time near the end of the week because they've been living together with 15 people all week long, they've been going to the showers together, they've been going to meals together, everything's together, and I'll spread them out in the woods and tell them they're going to have this spot by themselves for 10 minutes, they cannot talk with anybody, and they can't walk around. And it's like, oh no, I've got to do this. But when they come back, then I have a lot of questions, and they love it. They found things to play with. They found ways to communicate with other people without talking. And then that's their first step. And then from there, I'll tell them, you know, when you go home, maybe you'll be doing something and you'll realize you need just a few minutes by yourself. Go into your room. Go out in the backyard. Go ride your bike for just a few minutes. I think that's the beginning.
Thank you both for sharing it. That's great. Anyone else have something to share? Okay.
I started doing that with my youngster, who's only 4 and a half now, but I'm a full-time working parent, and that's where it's difficult. When you get home and you haven't seen your spouse or your child, especially for a small child, it's hard to say, okay, I need some time to unwind. But when she was very small, she's been in a daycare home since she was 5 months, and I get home with her, and the two of us would just go and lie down on my bed, and I would start talking to her very softly, and then I just stopped talking. This was before she was talking. And it was just a really very pleasant time. I did this for about a half an hour. And as she got older, we continued to do it, but the time got less and less that we were lying down. It was more that we'd be sitting, or she'd come in and help me with dinner as she could, you know, just being a toddler. But even now, she'll go in her own room and close her door, and I'll go knock on it like 15 minutes later, and she'll just say, I'm having quiet time, Mom.
Oh.
So she's, you know, I've incorporated in into her life because it was one of my needs. And as it's turned out, she enjoys it.
Oh, that's great.
So it worked out really well, but it was hard to do, and it's not something that everybody would be able to do. It would depend not on how their child, or how receptive their child was. And,
I think music, if I'm just really uptight, I have a couple of favorite records of some really good hymns, and I like to put them on stereo, lay out in the lazy boy chair, and just listen.
Oh, that's
that,
nice.
That is,
yeah.
I like that. And you don't really feel alone.
No.
But yet, you know, that sort of keeps your mind, it slows down the wheel of what's in your head.
Yes, that's very good.
I think reading too, that if you have children come along and all of a sudden they say, I don't want to take a nap anymore, and if you'll just say, well, let's just get a book. You get your books and I'll get mine. And just have quiet time of looking at books. And I think that's a stimulation to enjoy books too, which is what we have to all learn.
Yeah, that's good too. There are lots of ways to do this, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of an article from Scope magazine some years ago about the story of a grandmother who sat in a one-room house in the afternoon. But she wanted her quiet time while the children were playing and the mother was doing something else. And she said, pull her apron up over her head. And then the children knew that they were to be quiet. And then when Grandma was done having her quiet time, she pulled her apron back.
That's good. There's lots of ways to get your solitude. Yeah, and that was her privacy.
Right, in the middle of you know, one room where there was no way to get away from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Now you'll have to write a book the opposite of that, not too much solitude.
Yes. Yes, because that can be a problem.
Because there's a lot of people alone.
Too much time alone. I think we wouldn't want to call it solitude because I like to keep a solitude as a very positive word, whereas loneliness is a problem. And loneliness is a problem for a vast number of persons. But solitude is a very pleasant experience. So I think our time is up, and thank you for coming. What's that?
Going for a walk is solitude.
Oh yes, Doris, that's good. Going for a walk is an excellent way of finding solitude and enjoying it.
I remember getting a babysitter and just going for a walk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
I do that too. We live near the water and I walk along the beach with my dog.
Oh, lovely.
I kind of sit on the log and just look out at the water.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing.